the preparation of the bride. This, of course, is the general subject, but it's far beyond the subject. It's an actual situation where every member of the body in the Lord's recovery is. In a corporate way and in a personal way, those who have the desire to be part of the bride that the Lord is coming for in a secret way, and who will marry him, and if they pass through the judgment seat of Christ in a positive way, they will be in a marriage for 1,000 years, reigning with him and enjoying him for this length of time. But a vast majority of saints, and I have to be faithful to the Lord and honest to you, there will be thousands of saints in the Lord's recovery who will not be rapture ready. But there's a deep burden that this, the messages, point after point, will have an effect beyond any kind of conference we've had for decades, that we all are willing to the Lord to shine in us, to show us exactly where we are. The vast number of saints are in the second stage of that book called The Experience of Life. How many have passed through the third stage with the cross being applied thoroughly to the flesh, to the self, to the natural constitution, and therefore realize the life I've had in me, I thought it was personal. But the life in me is the life of the body. And then at that point, every believer who has passed through that journey will realize, I'm in the body. I'm a member of the body. I cannot live without the body. I pointed out to some saints recently, some brothers, in a tender way, but I'm in meeting after meeting in the church where I am. And so many, in particular middle-aged saints, talking about the body, but they truly do not know the body. They do not have the body consciousness. And because they don't know where they are, they may not be burdened sufficiently to come to the Lord as an open vessel and say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Because on behalf of him, I would say, it's not too late for any one of us in the Lord's recovery. No matter what their age is, it's not too late. And those who are quite young, it's not too soon. And there is a key verse to this whole series of messages, and that is Revelation 19:7. His wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. So we need to have a clear mind to realize there is something that's corporate. This is a body matter. As a member of the body, we are able to make ourselves ready. But beyond that, this is a very tender and thorough personal matter between you and the Lord. And I just hope that you would see this is something more than just words in a message. On behalf of the Lord, my heart is aching with a loving concern that we would be, from this point on, day after day, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. I exercise my spirit under the power of your blood. Please meet today's measure of mercy and grace. And Lord, I'm an open vessel today for your divine dispensing. Lord, dispense yourself more and more, deeper and deeper, one day after another. And then personally ask him, not because you heard me say it, but because it's becoming your feeling. Lord, I'm holding nothing back from you. Touch and deal with any part of my being. Because many of us realize all the saints from hundreds and hundreds of years, they have to reach maturity. And most will have to go through 1,000 years to have that take place. But we have the opportunity to become, as I say, rapture ready. We're mature. We have made ourselves ready for the wedding. And the Lord will, in a way of his tender shepherding, he knows where each one of us is and where we are. And I know, I'm not asking for this, but I know that some saints contact with an email or they come in person to say, Ron, I don't know where I am. I don't know what to ask. And then I would say, this may be surprising. I can let you know. Not to criticize, but to encourage you. We're just about to come to the outline itself. And I purposely limit my speaking time to about 75 minutes. If I can get the main points across, this is my portion. There'll be a brother speaking for 2 minutes, and another brother at the end. And then there'll be the opportunity for so many to come to the microphone, but not to speak about something apart from this, but what is touching you, what's enlightening you, what is encouraging you. Because we are all corporately and personally making ourselves ready. Now, in 1974, Brother Lee began his first semi-annual training, 10 days, 30 messages. And the first one of these training was in December 1974. And the opening word, the few of us that were there, we could never forget. In his opening word, he was going to be giving messages on Romans. He said, the Bible is a book of romance. Of romance. And so this is why we have this first section. And also, I'm not sure how this, I found this, this teeny weeny thing. It says the Bible, a romance of a universal couple. Just 12 pages. We made an arrangement to bring them, as many as we had, in tens. And I just wish that all the trainees of teenagers of every age would have this. And to realize, don't you want to be part of the bride? Amen. Only the Lord knows when this age will be at the end. But I personally feel that someone who is 15 years old, the end of the age may be 12, 15 years from now. Between the time that you have, even in your youth, if you would receive this and realize, I want to have a divine romance as the essence of my Christian life. It's beyond words how precious this is. Okay, now we can go through the outline itself. The bride, the goal of the Lord's recovery, that's his goal, is the bride. And we know from various verses, at the end of the first 3.5 years of the 70th week, that will begin, we know that, for 7 more years. After 3.5, the living, overcoming saints will be raptured. And just before that, the Lord will come in a secret way and take his bride to him. And then his wife, his bride, we'll have various aspects you'll see in all the other 5 outlines. They'll be focused on particular points. That one aspect is she's mature, she's built up, and she's experienced in spiritual warfare. He wants this kind of wife. And that is why the Lord is going to lead us in his way and time on all of these aspects that will make each one of us personally rapture ready. The Bible is a romance in the most pure and most holy sense of a universal couple. God in Christ as the bridegroom and God's redeemed people as the bride. Throughout the centuries, God has had a romance with man. He created man with the purpose of having a counterpart. Right there in Genesis 1. God created one human being, a man. He did not directly create the woman. She came out from him. And so from the very beginning, there was in the Lord's heart a wedding, a marriage. God is a lover. I like these words. God is a lover. Not only God loves, that's what he does. But when he can say to you, I'm a lover. God is a lover. And he created man in the image of himself as a lover. This means that he created us that we would love him. And I believe we can all say, after I make this statement, we all love God.
Amen.
Day after day, don't you tell him, day after day, Lord, I love you.
Amen.
The entire Bible is a divine romance. And Song of Songs is an abridged form of this romance. I just read through Song of Song again. Every time I read it, it's like the first time. It's a unique series of messages all together with love and marriage and everything related to it. If there is no romance between us and the Lord Jesus, then we are religious Christians, not romantic Christians. The Lord knows who is who, even among us. We may not realize it. So it's not a wise thing to analyze yourself. You just say, Lord, I come to you fully open. Just shine me, shine on me. And you indicate, the Lord might say, I know you're consecrated to me. And I know you really have a loving concern for me. But you're somewhat still religious. So how about if I save you from that? This is his tender shepherding. He's not judging you. He's enlightening you to mature you. The Bible is a romantic book. And our relationship with the Lord should become more and more romantic. Wow. You start where we are. And don't compare yourself with anybody else. You just are you in the Lord where you are. The Lord will come to you and shepherd you where you are. He's not comparing you with someone else. So that the Lord will come and dispense and to encourage. Romance is a word of the divine courtship in the Bible. We see that God is seeking our love. He's seeking it at this very moment. Just again and again, I have the inner feeling to say what I'm going to say now. Our dear beloved Lord Jesus is on the throne in the heavenlies. Christ is here, as he said, I would be with you every day until the end of this age. But just realize this. Christ, the person, is the life-giving spirit, is in each one of us. Do you ever have some conversation with him? In the indwelling Christ, more and more, he's going to make himself known to you. And this will indicate that you're developing. And the Lord is having more access to making his home in your heart. Song of Songs is more than a romance. It is a fantastic romance. Now, dear sister, when you love a certain brother and you know this brother loves you and you've brought the matter to the Lord and you are covered and are being led by some genuine fellowship, and they're coming together, and you just realize, you're gonna, don't just ask, will you marry me? I will marry you, but I want a fantastic wedding. And I want the living together is beyond that. I don't know what it is, but I can just sense it in a number of mature saints. Okay, section D. Whatever we love, our whole heart, even our entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. Then I'm reading part of a footnote because it's so precious. To love God means to set our entire being, spirit, soul, and body, with the heart, soul, mind, and strength absolutely on Him. That is, to let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him. And now point two has eight aspects. And I just want to pause for a moment. Maybe about 30 years ago, on one Lord's Day meeting, my wife and I, the one who went to be with the way to the Lord years ago, we had 15 full-time trainee sisters to come to have a meal and to just be together for open fellowship. And I remember the time when I just asked them, not a question and answer thing, but to together if we could discover something, and that is, what is love? And what is love in relation to the Lord? And these points came out of this precious time. I wasn't giving them a teeny-weeny message. I was there learning by them, with them. This was a corporate matter. To love the Lord Jesus is to appreciate Him. I'll repeat the first thing again and again. To love the Lord Jesus is to direct our being to Him. To love the Lord Jesus is to open to Him. To love the Lord Jesus is to enjoy Him. To love the Lord Jesus is to give Him the first place. To love the Lord Jesus is to be one with Him. To love the Lord Jesus is to live Him. To love the Lord Jesus is to become Him. And notice, I have some verses there. And then there's hymns, number 477, stanza 2. But this captured my attention. And I had a sense, I wonder if this English translation is accurate. Because at the end of 477 in English, the Lord is with me and I am with Him. And I asked some saints, Chinese, not just Chinese-speaking saints, but this was their background. What is it actually saying? It's actually saying, I am you and you are me. This was the profound high peak of revelation at that time. But it was kept away by a kind of a translation. Someone just thought that it was too much. Well, I know the person who said that, sooner or later, he's with the Lord now, that the high peak of the divine revelation, that God became man, that we may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. So now just a brief time in section 2, and then we will come to the main section, and well, the time is fine. Revelation 19:7-9 unveils Christ as the bridegroom. The marriage of the Lamb is the issue of the completion of God's New Testament economy, which is to obtain for Christ a bride, the church, through his judicial redemption and by the organic salvation in his divine life. The bride of Christ in Revelation 19 is composed of all the overcomers. This word overcomers or overcoming, you're going to hear again and again. We have to be clear. No one can honestly say, I am an overcomer. You read the end of each of the seven speakings in Revelation 2 and 3. The Lord is firstly speaking to the messenger of the church, something unknown, I realize, but that's for another time, if any time. But then the overcoming one, not the overcomer, but someone in that particular situation, he's overcoming. And it's the overcoming one that will be rapture ready. All the overcomers will be the New Jerusalem as the bride of Christ for 1,000 years. In its initial and fresh stage. Again, the overcoming saints, they will be the New Jerusalem. Because the New Jerusalem is not a place, it's not a building, it's a corporate person. Read from Revelation 19:10-11. Eventually, all the believers will join the overcomers to consummate and complete the New Jerusalem in full as the wife of Christ in the new heaven and new earth. So all the regenerated children of God will become part of the wife sooner or later, since that is the goal of God's recovery and the goal of our Christian life, corporately and personally. Why not make a definite decision? I want to become part of the bride now, in this age. I don't want to wait for the next period of time. It's going to be much longer than any human life. And then you just come to him and say, Lord, please do it now. And in a very brief way, I won't give you any idea who and when, but a brother I knew very well starting in 1968. He's about 9 years older than I was. And something happened. He became very much involved in a rebellion going out of Southern California in a dreadful situation. No one had ever been recovered from a rebellion like this. But after 3 years later, in his personal time with the Lord that he always had, the light began to come. So he opened more and more than he realized where he was and what he did. And eventually, Brother Lee knew about it, and he knew how to recover him. And he took him through the next 2 years. But then he realized what you could have done, or what you could be doing now, you're not able to do it again. But he was just satisfied to serve in any practical way that the Lord had for him. And I remember him standing up and saying, because he is so sincere and honest, he said before the Lord, "Lord, soon I will be standing before the judgment seat. And I ask you, Lord, in your love and kindness, what you would judge at the judgment seat, would you judge and deal with it now?" And I have reason to believe that he was an open vessel and the Lord touched and dealt with every negative thing. And he was 91 years old. Because, dear saints, it's how we end our journey. Amen. How we end. And so we just press on and just say, Lord, that we can make this decision that, Lord, if I can make a decision and you've given us this opportunity, do what you would need to do then. Do it now. At any cost. And the Lord would, in a very, not only a thorough way, but in a with love beyond description. You're a child. You're one of my children. I'll respond to this. Because you're going to see something in about 3 or 4 minutes about so much is going to take forth when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is going to determine whether or not we will be in the coming age, the age of the kingdom. Now, we go through these verses 19:7-9, in doing my best to what the apostles mentioned in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, they said the apostles will continuously go on concerning prayer and the ministry of the word. And so the rest of the message is ministry on the word. It's not just simply what someone else said, although we needed that and we honor that. But the genuine ministry always brings us back to the Lord and back to the word. Brother Lee made this very clear. Don't say Brother Lee said this, Brother Lee said that. God said that in the word. The marriage of the Lamb has come. In the beginning of the gospel, John speaks of the Lamb and the bridegroom. And in Revelation, he says, that the marriage of the Lamb has come. Wow, when we hear that, the marriage has come. After the rapture of the majority of the saints and the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ for the giving of the reward, the saints that immediately follow should include the marriage of the Lamb. If we are rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, we will participate in the wedding feast. We will be at the judgment seat, each one of us. We have to realize the final decision regarding the crucial point of the whole message is whether or not we will be in the wedding. So if we are rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, we will participate in the wedding feast. If we are not rewarded, but are disapproved of by the Lord, we will not perish, but will suffer a loss like that's described in 1 Corinthians 5:3-15. I want to pause here and refer to a parallel verse and something that the Lord has been using to govern me and direct me since the fall of 1966. So these are some verses toward the end of Matthew 7. And the Lord says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God the Father. But those who have done the perfect will of the Father. And then the next verse or two, these are believers. And particularly, they are believers who have been serving Him. And this group will include full-time serving ones. For decades, being very active and accomplishing many things. And you could just look at the verses themselves and they would say, Lord, Lord, look at all that we have done. All the things we carried out. All the things we did. The Lord didn't say you didn't do them. Because there's something called the permissive will of God. Contrasting to the perfect will of God. And these are the Lord's words, not mine. I do not know you. Depart from me. Workers of lawlessness. That's going to be spoken to saints. These are not unbelievers. That is why someone was praying for me. Because I don't know, this is before I even came into the Lord's recovery. Although I was leaving Christianity, that I just decided, Lord, I will not accept your permissive will. I choose and will only follow your perfect will, no matter what it costs. And for the next 2 years, he just nullified so many things. Until I reached the point in June of 1966, I'm leaving the entire system of Christianity. And now I could tell the sister, we can get married now. And the Lord's leading us. We're going to go to California. And when we get to California, we'll find out what the perfect will of God is. And I just thank and worship the Lord that I'm still here with you doing the perfect will of God. And so in a tender way, I just appeal to you, settle this matter if you haven't. Again, I say, if you're older than I am, there are some above 85, then I will have honor for someone older than I am, for someone just a teenager. Settle certain things. I'm just a young person, but I can make a decision. I'm here to do the perfect will of God. Okay, now the rest of the crucial points. His wife has made herself ready. So this is what will be clearly presented to you in messages 2 through 6. The brothers will, every message will be particular and thorough with each one with his portion, his measure. We need a group like this. So I repeat, his wife has made herself ready. So we have to learn, we have to make ourselves ready. What is it that I have to make ready? I need to know what it is, and I need to learn how to do it. His wife refers to the church, the bride of Christ. According to Revelation 19:8-9, the wife, the bride of Christ, consists only of the overcoming believers during the millennium, whereas the bride, the wife, in chapter 21, verse 2, is composed of all the saints after the millennium for eternity. So there's another decision to make. When will this be carried out? When do you want to see it carry out? In this age or that age? You have to make the decision. That doesn't mean you can do it. They'll realize, and he wants you to realize, these three things help me when I read a verse, a deep verse. Then I have to read it and say, amen. This is your word. I say amen. The next point is, Lord, I can't do it. And the Lord would say, I know you can't do it. Let me do it. Oh, it's just so delightful. You shouldn't have the first thing to say, it's way beyond me. No, it's his word. We have to say amen to his word. But then if we think we can do it, then is there going to be quite a length of time for the Lord to show us, you can't do anything. You don't have anything, and you'll become nothing. So that I can be the all-inclusive Christ, everything to you. Now, point three is one of the most important statements in this outline. The readiness of the bride depends on the maturity and life of the overcomers. Now, in message three, we're going to have an extraordinarily important message altogether on maturity. And the Lord has a certain brother to give this message, and I believe the combination is going to be a gift to the whole recovery, to know what maturity is. Because we have to reach maturity, not in a human way, but in a spiritual way. And again, I would say to the elderly saints, I'm not just repeating words in a silly way. It's not too late. And you're not too young. It's not too soon. Lord, I want to, being in the move direct in this direction, I want to be spiritually mature. Okay, so I'm 85. Do you have to be in your 80s to be mature? No. 70s? No. 60? No. 50? No. 40? No. 30? No. In your 20s? When you're in your 20s, you don't say, I'm a little boy. I'm a man. I'm a young man. And so don't think you'll become mature decades from now. I believe in the life of so many saints in the next 5 years is going to be marvelous. The growth in life, it won't be a miracle, but it's going to be normally quick. Because many of us, we reach maturity, it's sort of like a child who is 12 can be 19 in 7 years, but we went from 12 to 19 in 35 years. And so, okay, we thank the Lord for we got here, but we don't want the saints to have this realization. They have to realize the Lord in his loving concern for you is going to do a lot. Between now and the end of the year, the Lord is going to do a lot in each one of you. Amen. He has a plan. He's something in his heart. Okay. Because a practical goal is maturity. Four, we need to adorn and consummate the New Jerusalem. Remember, that's a person. As the bride of Christ, with God the Father as the gold, God the Son as the pearl, and God as the Spirit as the precious stones. The overcomers, here we are again, the overcomers are not separate individuals, but a corporate bride. This is a very important statement. The overcomers are those that are overcoming in a particular situation they're in. And they're not separate individuals. You're part of a corporate bride. And so we have the personal side. We have the corporate side. We need both. You don't try to examine it during the day. You just realize, I'm a member of the body, and I'm a child of God. And so personally, the Lord is caring for me. I'm a member of the body, experiencing things in a corporate way. It's just so normal. Five, the overcomers. No, I just read that. Six, the overcomers not only are mature in life, but also are built together as the bride. Built together as one bride, one corporate person. And regarding this kind of building, the organic building, there's a very important point You don't make the choice. Oh, I want to be built with you. Oh, I don't want to be with that kind of person or from that country. That's the self. You want someone's self to match yourself? It's not always a simple thing. And here's an example. In 1974, then I got a call from California. Brother Lee wants you to move out here and serve full time with him. He's going to give the life studies. And here I am, 34, and he was around 68. And it was a very challenging thing for me to have a little fellow who was a co-worker with him. But he knew that was God's arrangement. And during those 10.5 years, we just worked side by side. Every Thursday morning from 8:30 to about 12:30, going over the life study messages that I worked on. That was my job. For 24 years, I spent 24 years preparing the messages. But I want to make it clear, I didn't do all of them. My dear brother Ed participated to some extent in verses on Psalms and on another book. So I don't want you to have the idea I was unique. I just did a lot. So many brothers younger than I. And I just was telling the Lord, Lord, they're younger than I. Their work is being manifested way ahead of me, and I say amen to that. Release all of them now. I'm just here where you wanted me to be. But I remember saying to the Lord at the very beginning, I said, I'm willing for the rest of my days to be working on this life study material. But I'm going to be working like, an ox. I said, the ox is labeled and is just going round and round to grind it out. I said, I'm willing to be an ox. But I ask that while I'm going round and round, my mouth is open, that I will eat what I'm working on. And there was one time, and both Brother Ed and I, Brother Lee called us to his house. This was near the end of his time with us. And we just sat there in his room, not his bedroom, but his room where he works. He just looked at us and he said, you just followed me. He just spent our time. To just proceed in this kind of way. Please realize in Matthew 25, there are two aspects that will be judged at the judgment seat. The first is someone is filled with life in their soul, not just in their spirit. They've had the experience to be mature. But the other side comes to serving. No matter how much ability the Lord gave you, and the Lord will want to know, I gave you this ability to serve. And you have some with five. They said, Lord, you gave me five of these. And I labored, and I have five more to give you. He said, well done. Come into my joy. And someone else said, I had two, but I used them, and I have two more. And the Lord said the same thing. But the majority had only one. And he said, you gave me one, so I just buried it to keep it safe. And the Lord was very strong. And he said, take the one and give it to the one who had the five. But toward the end of his speaking time, Brother Lee said, if those that had the one all over the earth, the Lord would take control of the whole earth. So what's on the Lord's heart is not mainly those that are gifted in this way or in this way, but the vast majority are this way. And that you'll just labor with what the Lord gave you, and you will receive the same reward. You will be a co-king in the coming age. It was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clear, clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So that's her wedding dress. It's righteousnesses. So righteousnesses, what are they? They are particular righteous doing based upon the indwelling Christ in you. But in your daily living, there is divine human righteousness in all that you're doing. And it's not very common. I don't ask for it, but iPads and so many things come about. I'm in this situation. I don't know how to go on in this situation. And we just try to help them to realize that this is the Lord's sovereignty, but His grace is all sufficient for your situation. And one saint in particular would say, so-and-so, in a very calm way, hates me. And I could say, this is, you're correct. But nevertheless, your requirement by God the Father is to love that person. You don't counteract. The Lord will take care of it later. So that we want a righteousness is an expression of Christ living in us. And it will be recorded. If you look toward the end of Matthew 12, the Lord said, I can't quote it exactly, but you can look it up later if you want to do that. He said, all of your words, all of your kind of talking are being recorded, and they will be brought to you again at the judgment seat. See, this is going to be a shock. But all of our kind of speaking is being recorded. Every word. But especially when it's in relation to a situation in the church or with somebody else or this and that in particular. And so I just suggest something. How we end the day, no matter what the day was, before we put our head on the pillow, we just say, Lord, I want to clear up any and every negative thing I said and did today. Please enlighten me. And I said this, Lord, I repent. Has there been at least one time when you are here ready to send an email, going da 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 da, it's all ready, but you just pause and you just have the feeling, maybe I shouldn't include that, or maybe not that, and so you're going da 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 zero. Because what you send to one person could go to millions of people. Because you look at those verses, our speaking is going to be judged. And when you hear the message 3 about maturity, and there was an example with Jacob in Genesis, you could tell his growing to maturity was the way he talked. And finally at the end, but the main thing he could say is, I bless you. May God bless you. Our speaking will be the indicator of the degree of maturity that we've reached. But don't try to change it yourself and to say, I'm going to be silent for the next 7 hours. You will, but except when you're driving the car and someone cuts in front of you and you say, it's going to be right in front of me, I'm not going to press down and be some distance away. Then they go in front of you, then they turn right. Well, there's one little example. What I said. So don't examine yourself. Again, be an open vessel to say, Lord, is there anything today? Is there any relationship I need to clear up? Please enlighten me to do it now. And his loving concern will do this because this will issue in our righteousnesses. We'll have the garment that the bride will wear. We're making it by living in this righteous way. Clean refers to the nature, and bright refers to the expression. The Greek word translated righteousnesses may also be rendered righteous acts. The righteousnesses do not refer to the righteousness that we received for our salvation. We received objective righteousness when we repented and were saved. The righteousness we receive for our salvation is objective and enables us to meet the requirement of the righteous God, comma. Whereas in Revelation 19:8, the righteousnesses of the overcoming saints are subjective and enable them to meet the requirements of the overcoming Christ. So we need this kind of subjective righteousness. So I want to repeat, the overcoming saints, they were in the process of overcoming. They haven't come to the end. They may or may not be an overcomer at the end. But they're following the leading to be an overcoming saint. But now there's a subjective requirement. concerning righteousness that enables this one to meet the requirements of the overcoming Christ. And only Christ knows what the requirements are, the overcoming ones. And so you just open to Him. And you just obey what He leads you to do. Please don't, we have two trees. Please don't live by the tree of good and evil. Please bring that to an end. Well, this is right. They're wrong. I'm right. Because I'm right, I can have a strong speaking about it. Well, what will come out of you is death. But if we can learn under the Lord's shepherding, we live by the tree of life, by the sense of life. And your inner being will make known when you're making this way of speaking and what you're asking and what you're suggesting. The life is just flowing in you. You realize, I'm with the tree of life. Otherwise, your inner being will say, you're with the wrong tree. You're judging by right and wrong. 5. Thus, the fine linen indicates our overcoming life, our overcoming living. It is Christ whom we live out of our being. This is a precious point. The fine linen. And the Lord knows at this very moment how much fine linen we have. He knows. And He wants, His heart's desire is that all of us will be fully covered with this kind of fine linen. But we can have this kind of fine linen because it's an expression of the way we are living in the life of Christ. The fine linen indicates our overcoming life, our overcoming living. So it becomes a normal living, overcoming this. Not winning. Not being right according to someone else's right and wrong. Before the Lord, I want to have this sense. Today was an overcoming day because there was room for the overcoming Christ to live in me and through me today. Amen. Living, it is the Christ whom we live out of our being. So Christ is in our being. He needs to live out. He needs to be expressed. He needs to be applied. Now, we're at the very last section. Blessed are they who are called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb. These are the words of God. Blessed are they. Don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want someone to meet you in the, you're going up way high in the building. You're all going up together. And this may sound strange. You don't do it now just because you heard something. But you just see someone and say, have a blessed night. Didn't we have a blessed day? We receive blessing. And we become blessing to one another. That the Lord cover me. So many times, a rather young married couple come with their little baby. You just happen to see him outside of the room. You just say, you know, what's the name? And then I just say, God is a blessing God. He's going to bless every aspect of your living through your whole life. The parents understand. Of course, the teeny one doesn't have any idea. We're not trying to imitate, but this is a sign of maturity. You know, when he was in Egypt, and they brought him in before the man in charge, he doesn't come in and say, I just bless you. Then when he left, God bless you. We need to know the God of the blessing God, and gradually become a blessing saint. Sincerely, not just words. It just comes out effortlessly. The marriage dinner of the Lamb is the wedding feast. The kingdom of 1,000 years, which is one day in the eyes of God, as a reward to the overcoming believers. Again, overcoming believers. A simple prayer. Lord, do what you need to do to make me an overcoming believer. Just this simple prayer. I had to learn something that took many, many years. This being in meetings where Brother Lee was speaking, I was receiving, no doubt. But eventually I realized I need to take another step, make that a request. Not only I receive it, but Lord, what you just said, make this real. That's all. And surely, I believe all of us will want to have the wedding feast. The wedding feast itself will be the reward for overcoming. Just being there. I don't want this or that. Just to be there with saints from all ages, from all races, from all countries. We're coming together corporately for his bride. We're getting married together. It's worth it, saints, to have a view of this. To be called to the marriage dinner of Christ, which will usher the overcoming believers into the enjoyment of the millennium, is to be blessed. The marriage dinner of the Lamb in Revelation 19:9 is the wedding feast in Matthew 22, verse 2. It will be a reward to the overcoming believers. I hope it's getting clear how overcoming and being part of the bride are almost becoming absolutely one. To be called is to receive salvation, whereas to be chosen is to receive a reward. There's a verse at the very end of Revelation chapter 22, maybe it's around verse 12, that the Lord says, I am coming again soon with my reward. For those for their laboring. He knows. Then you'll realize you do not want any kind of reward in time and space. The only reward that I'm looking for is the Lord's word when we see him face to face. If he could just say, well done, good and faithful slave. Only the overcomers will be called to the marriage dinner as a reward to them. Not all the saved ones will participate in it. That's just a fact. The number will be immense. And now, the last point. The overcoming believers will be called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb, will also be the bride of the Lamb. Well, this is just an opening word that we can see step by step. The bride is making herself ready. Now, in just a few seconds, I'll ask you to pray with someone nearby. If you're not comfortable doing that, then just pray with the Lord. Then a brother will come to give a confirming word. Then I hope people from all ages, from wherever you are, but I would ask you sincerely, what you would speak for 30 seconds should be something focused on the message, not something else. But because we will have, we've got 38 minutes. There'll be almost 30 minutes for the sharing. And I say this sincerely, you're coming to the microphone and speaking for 30 seconds will complete the message. I did my part. Now it's time for your part. So pray and prophesy. Okay.